Blog Talk Radio.
Placed themselves basically on top of him to apprehend him.
And they're still not telling you why they decided to apprehend him. And once they apprehended him, something happened, because when they picked him up, you could see the pain. I mean, there's a picture that you can't fake that type of pain and the anguish and the agony that he must have been feeling. And then he's placed into the van, and he's screaming. So I could imagine how he felt as he was riding around the town in this pain and shackled the way he was. Now, they made several stops. For what reasons, we don't know. The police station was just a couple of blocks down the road, but they took him on a ride throughout the city, making four stops. And then when he arrived at the police station unresponsive, we found out later that he had a crushed vocal box. Now, we all know, if you know where your vocal box is, you know that you just can't crush it yourself. You can't just punch yourself in the neck to crush your vocal box. You can't just hit your head in a way where your vocal box is crushed. And we all seen the police when they try to tell people to be quiet, when they don't want to hear the person anymore, and how they try to shut them up. So I could imagine what went on for Freddie's vocal box to be crushed. So we've had to listen to these people in the media talk about all these different things. And mind you, as they're speaking, they're always telling us, do not rush to any judgment. Do not rush to any conclusions. So finally, on May 1st, last Friday, the beginning of justice has been served in Baltimore, when the new district attorney charged all six officers that had any type of contact with Freddie Gray on that terrible day of his death. She charged all six of them. A new district attorney named Mrs. Mosley. She had only been in office since November, and she promised the people of Baltimore that she would seek justice. And so she charged six officers, and the charges range from second-degree murder to, where they, you know, had him under arrest, false arrestment. And I'm really happy that she decided to do that. But now you have these same media naysayers that are saying that she should remove herself from the case because there's no reason for her to charge these officers, and that she is too close to the people in Baltimore because her husband is a public serviceman. He's, I believe, one of the councilmen. So they're believing that it's a conflict of interest, so she should remove herself from the case. Now, mind you, these same people that are saying this, when the incident occurred in Ferguson and everyone knew how close McCullen was to the police officers in Ferguson, everyone knew the different things that McCullen had done in his past with the police officers, but these same people were saying that he should remain on the case, that there was no reason for him to remove himself. People even pleaded to the governor and asked that the governor remove McCullen from the case of Michael Brown due to the conflict of interest that he had. But these same news media people are saying, oh, no. No. Everything was fair. Everything was just. And we were just jumping to conclusions with the Michael Brown. But now they're telling us that there was a rush to judgment, and there's no way that these six officers are guilty of killing Freddie Gray. So now they want us to believe that not only can you go around shooting a young man who's, mind you, running from the police, I'll repeat that, running from the police, and I even heard a man on a media tell someone the other day, he worked with the police, and he said, you don't see people running toward the police. Usually they're running away from the police. Now, where was this man when all this was going on with Michael Brown, when they started accusing Michael Brown of running toward the police? When we all know, we all are saying, most black men don't run toward the police. They run away from the police. But now all of a sudden, they're out there saying that you don't run toward the police. But they were nowhere around when this case was going on with Michael Brown, because we all know that Michael Brown was murdered by the officer Kilson here in Ferguson, Missouri. But they tell us not to compare the cases. They tell us not to rush to judgment. They tell us that what happened in Baltimore really didn't happen. I guess they just want us to believe that Freddie just hit himself up, his head up against the paddy wagon and killed himself. I mean, it's really tragic, and it really hurts my heart when I hear these newscasters speak and how insensitive they are. So last week I had a guest. Her name was Star Parker, and she's an active Baltimore protester, and she brought to us the truth because she's right there on the ground in Baltimore. She was born and bred in Baltimore, and she was returning this week, but I'm not sure if she's caught up in some meetings, or I'm not sure what her agenda was tonight, because the last confirmation that I got from her, she did say that she would be on tonight, and she was very anxious to come and give us an update of what's truly going on in Baltimore, because like I said, the media, especially CNN, they report things that really aren't true. As I watched the TV last week and I saw for myself, the police picked up, I don't want to call it tear gas, but smoke bombs, and they threw it at the people. The people picked them up and threw them back. But the media came away, and this was MSNBC and CNN, they came away saying that the people threw these at the police. And I'm watching it with my bare eyes, but mind you, now in 2015, the media tells us that we don't see what we saw. They're telling us that we didn't see what happened with Eric Garner, that video footage, we're just seeing the wrong thing. They're telling those young ladies that were the real witnesses in the Michael Brown case that they didn't really see that, because McCullen said it was something else that they saw, because he went and found his own witnesses who will never know who they are and had them come before the grand jury. So we're supposed to believe them and not really believe what those young ladies saw. So it's really a sad day when we have people, the young lady who testified with the Trayvon Martin case, how the jurors didn't believe her. And then we have these two young ladies that testified with the Michael Brown case and how the jurors, well, the grand jury did not believe her. And then they get mad when our young people don't want to deal with the justice system. They get mad when our young people don't want to be involved with the police, don't want to be in the courtroom. They don't want to testify because no one wants to believe them. So it's really sad what's really going on in America. And as I stand here and speak to you guys tonight about the truth, about what's going on. And as one man said, I don't know what team, I think he was for the Orioles. They asked him, the coach, you know, what did he think about all of this? And he said, you know, he's not an African-American. He's never been. So therefore, he has no comments because he can't explain to an African-American what they've been through. And that is the truth. If you have not lived in our shoes, how can you sit here and tell us what is really going on in our lives? How can you tell us how we live and how we're approached every day? You know, police get behind me and they drive behind me for a while and then they leave. Why do they do that? What is that about? But like the young man Jeff said on a TV One yesterday, the police were not put here to serve and protect African Americans and poor people. They were put here to control us so that they can protect and serve the rich Caucasians and the rich people. So we really have to understand that. They're not here to serve and protect poor people, African American people. People act like slavery was just a wink and it was there for a second and gone the next. They act as if it really wasn't about what it really was. And you have to understand, it hasn't been that long since we've been free. It hasn't been that long at all. So this system of policing, which I'm going to do a show on and give you the history of policing, it really was not made to protect the inner cities, the ghettos, as they call them, the places where poor people live because they have no choice, the places where African Americans migrated from the South because they had no choice. They're not there to protect and serve us. They've never, ever wanted to serve us. Remember, they brought us here to serve them. So what makes us think that they're ever going to serve us? So we really need to research policing in this country and research the definition of it and how it works and how it operates within our cities and within our communities. And I believe you probably will find an alarming piece of information, an alarming piece of truth about the policing here in this country and how it has really divided us as a people, because they don't understand why we look at the police the way we do. Well, they can't understand because they've never walked in our shoes. They've never been stopped for no reason. They've never been followed for no reason. They've never been in a mall and people are walking around looking at you for no reason like you're going to steal something, when the fact is that they stole us and brought us here. So I don't know why they don't trust us. Well, there you go. You know, usually the person that's the guilty one is the one that's pointing the fingers at the innocent one. So we're living in a society that operates under those conditions. They're steady pointing fingers at us, saying that we're the guilty ones. And it's sad because every time now they're telling us that we don't make enough noise when there's black-on-black crime. But mind you, in the city of St. Louis lately, there's been a lot of murdering, a lot of murders, back-to-back. You know, two sets of young ladies within a week's time were murdered. The last one was a set of sisters. And they make us believe, because of the neighborhoods that they're found in, it's black-on-black crime. But mind you, that doesn't mean that that's what it is, black-on-black crime. And no one wants to investigate any further. But as soon as someone of a different race is found murdered, they have answers very, very quickly. And they try to tell us it's because we don't talk. No, they don't listen and they don't do their work. And they don't care because they write it off as black-on-black crime, which me, myself, I don't believe it's all black-on-black crime. I believe there's a lot of other things going on, and no one wants to look at it. They're just covering it up, saying it's black-on-black crime. And then you have people on the blog saying, oh, you know, you guys don't make noise when it's black-on-black crime. Well, you know what? They don't make noise either. Last time I thought, we were all Americans. So if they see that across the country, in these inner cities like Chicago and St. Louis, that there's all of these murders going on, how come America's not in an uproar? Why is it that they're pointing their fingers at the African Americans, telling us we should be in an uproar, which we are, that we should be protesting, which we are? They just don't hear about it because the mainstream media won't report it. But everyone should be in an uproar because these are American children. These are young American children, and their lives are being just taken away day after day. But you don't see those stories on 2020, on Dateline, or across the national media. No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to put together an organization or a task force to investigate and find out, where are these guns coming from? why all of a sudden is this happening? What is really going on the ground? They're too busy looking at other countries, trying to tell them what to do, trying to investigate how they operate and why they're killing each other and trying to stop them from killing each other, which makes no sense, because if you can't clean up your own home, why are you pointing fingers at everyone else's house? There's no way in the world you can tell someone else how to run and control their house if your house is in disarray. And you don't even want to know. You're continuing to ignore it. You know, America's running around acting as if everything is okay. When, like I said, across the country, people, young people, are being murdered every day. And they're trying to tell us that it's black on black. So you have to really pay attention and really seek the truth for yourself. Baltimore is a major city. Ferguson was a very small town of population, maybe 16, 17,000 people. Boston is a major city. And it got national attention. And I just hope and pray that Freddie Gray's murder is not in vain. And I hope and pray that justice will be served, that it will not be another case of Killerman when he got set free, because the prosecutor in Florida charged him, but she failed to produce a strong case in the courtroom against him. She basically charged him to keep the peace and keep her promise to his parents, but when the time came for her to stand up and fight for justice in that courtroom, she said nothing. She did nothing. She gave it over to her other colleagues and let them fight the battle. And it was a very weak battle that they fought. A lot of mistakes were made. But I know that this Miss Mosley does not appear to be a person like that. She appears to have integrity. She appears to care about what she says. She appears to care about the people where she lives. And I do believe that she will do everything in her power to bring justice to Freddie Gray. It may not be all six of those officers that are charged. All six of them may not end up going to jail, but I do believe that some of them will be and will end up in jail for their wrongdoing. America, we live in a country where they're sending teachers in Georgia for cheating. They're sending them to jail for cheating. But they're not even charging the police. And when they do, the people say it, they shouldn't be charged. The people say that they may not go to jail because it's not fair. When they're just human beings like everyone else. You know, as they said, you know, when you look at a police officer, who are they? Where do they come from? Pay attention to that. What does it take to become a police officer? Not much. Do they look into their background the way they should? Do they give them a test of themselves as far as they, their weaknesses and their strengths when they're dealing with emotions? And how they handle themselves when they're dealing with an excitement. You know, you can't have a gun in your hand day in and day out and not be careful with it and not have the knowledge of why you're carrying it and what its purpose is. You can't do that. They try to tell us they're in war. Well, we've been in war since we got here. We've been fighting for our lives since we got here. And then some of us went and fought for this country and received nothing. So for them to tell us that these police officers are really going through a lot, mind you, that's a volunteer. You don't have to be a police. But in the past, some of our soldiers had no choice. They were drafted to go into another country and fight for this country that does not fight for them, does not give them justice, does not have any rights for them. The laws that this country were built on were not inclusive of African Americans. And we have to understand that. Now, sorry that Ms. Parker didn't call tonight, but hopefully we'll get her back on next week. So I'm going to see if we have any callers right now for the last 5 minutes. Let me see if I can take a call here. Caller, you're on the air, 213, are you there?
Oh, hello, hi, Terry. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, yourself?
Hello, I'm blessed. You know, this whole thing, it is really sad. But, you know, like you were saying in the beginning about the media, and that's a real big joke. I mean, since from the beginning, you know, the media is controlled by the government.
Yes.
There have been, how many times has there been a controversy that just got brushed under the rug and everybody forgot about it, but didn't make any sense? One of them being 9/11. That building was blown up with Americans in it, and America believed it. Some didn't, but nothing was done about that. That was, you know, that was the biggest thing ever. There have been so many cover-ups and so many things they say, you didn't see what you saw. But, you know, how many times does that work? So, you know, that concept is, over time, we forget about it and we move on. And it's worked before. Why shouldn't this work now? But my concern with this issue with Boston is one of many of the same type of event that, I'm sorry, Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Baltimore. Is that this has been happening recently over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, within the last year or two or three or four, over and over and over. So back to we can go back to Trayvon Martin. And
mm-hmm.
and then there were more and more and more after that. And this
right.
is just the cover-up du jour. And
mm-hmm.
then there'll be another one, and Freddie Gay will be
right.
forgotten, and then they'll say something
mm-hmm.
else. What is going on? What is really going on?
And the media
that's what I
want to
know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then everybody forget about the Freddie Gray. Mm-hmm. Something's
right.
going on that they're killing. The police are doing this, and they're
mm-hmm.
and I believe, like you talked about show before last, the Patriot Act. Each letter of that word, patriot, means something. They want to instill, I believe, they want to instill martial law so they can tell
mm-hmm.
us. They want us to
mm-hmm.
riot and raise an uproar so that they can tell us, you can't come out of your house past 10 o'clock. It's
mm-hmm.
And that goes back to 9/11 because that's when that was instilled so that they can control, really control. You guys are causing too much trouble. We're going to have to implement martial law, and then they will really have control.
Right.
Then and we will, yeah. And then what can
it's
we
sad.
Do?
It's
sad.
You know, I challenge us. Even you know, it baffles me. Even on some of the blogs I see that are ran by African Americans, they tend to put up certain things. They put up a lot of the cases about the blacks, but they don't go deep and put up some of the cases that they should. And I challenge them too.
Mm-hmm.
We really have to dig deep and get the whole picture of what's going on in the country.
I agree.
But
it's not just that one isolated incident.
Yeah, and, no, it's not. And I have 90 seconds left, so I'm sorry. But thank you
no
so much for calling. And hopefully next
mm-hmm.
week, I'm not sure what happened to Star Parker tonight. But like I said, there's a lot going on in Baltimore, and she may be busy with that. But thank you again
yeah.
for calling and listening this week. Appreciate it.
No problem. You're welcome.
Okay. And as I say every week, John 8:32, and ye shall and the truth shall make you free. And I challenge every one of you out there, stay true and be blessed. And know that the way to truth is through God himself. And until next week, I'm yours truly, Terry Littlejohn. Thank you.